which is simply paying attention to what you're paying attention to. It's either feeding creativity or it's not. Make an appropriate adjustment.
Wait. I think there's a meme there. Pay attention
to what you're paying, attention to.
That's a taste of roguish values. This week's episode of Going Rogue, a podcast that unleashes the unthinkable in culture, religion, business, and everyday life. We even sneak in some politics now and again to keep things interesting. So, it's time to strap in, and let's see how far you are willing to let Mac and the team stretch you to your edge of thinking differently.
Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast where we unleash the unthinkable so that we can kind of usher in a new renaissance that's grounded in creativity, spiritual depth, and a bit of a shift from the me to the we. So we're on the edge tonight, guys, as always, man. It's good to see everybody, Rev.
It's good to be part of the we, man.
There it is. Exactly. Yeah. Better than the alternative, quite frankly.
Yeah, it is.
Without a doubt. Stu.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, man. I love creativity. Yeah. I heard you say that.
Uh-huh.
Can't wait to talk about it.
We're going to talk about that tonight. That's going to be one of our topics.
Let's
for
be
sure.
creative.
Yes. Let's do
Careful
it.
Careful what you ask for.
Well, what about our cocktails, man? What about our cocktails?
Yeah. They're out there.
They
know who they are. So hello to all you beautiful exotic cocktails out there. You know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do want to say hello to everybody. Yes, so there do. You go. So yeah, hello.
Greet everybody.
Hello. I hope everybody smiles when that happens.
Yeah.
Like I imagine when they're listening that there's a big smile on your face. So that's how whenever I say it, that's what I'm imagining.
Well, I can say there's a big smile on your face right now. It makes me feel happier.
Well, I actually did a meme, too, that said, you know, we're all exotic cocktails.
Yeah.
Savor every drop, something like that.
Oh, that's
you know,
good.
Let's
it.
Just make sure we enjoy each other to the fullest.
Right.
It's all good. We know we are. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. So tonight, here we are. Topic for tonight. Again, a little bit of unthinkable thinking. That's what we try to bring to the table every week. And so we're going to talk about values and vices. Now, this isn't going to be a self-help session, right? And we don't want anybody, no confidentiality issues here.
I'm okay to put my guts on the table. If we're going to talk about vices, I can put my guts out if you'd like.
Right.
You'll all of me. Why not take all of me?
Well, okay. Let's see how that works. All right. So values and vices. So what we want to talk about to start with in this podcast is we're going to talk about Going Rogue's values. You know, what do we value? Now, this is us individually, the three of us, but it's also us as a podcast, as a theme, as an intention, as a desire to bring value out there to you. What are the things that you can understand that we value as we talk and as we have perspective? And, you know, they're going to be pretty much in common, but I did want to make the comment. It's right here at this point as well, though. Not always, though, do the perspectives and opinions that one of us might, you know, share and talk about. I mean, you know, we're three different guys, so we don't always necessarily agree on everything, and that's healthy.
This would be a boring podcast if we
did. Okay. So sometimes it'll, you know, Stu suggested last week, or I think it was, where it was like we should do some outtakes or something like that, you know, just to have them out there on YouTube, because sometimes we'll do some things and we go, okay, wait, no. Beep. Turn that one off. We got to start again.
Did Larry really say that?
It always revolves around Mac, right? It's like, did Mac say that again?
It's typically what happens. Yes. They're not being facetious. They're true. Okay. So I get a little crazy sometimes, but that's all. It's all in fun and it's all good. So anyway, we're going to talk about what we value as a podcast and what you can hear from us in general consistently. And then if we have time, I'm not sure if this might be a two-parter. I'm not sure we're going to even get to the second part. But if so, then we'll kind of take those values and then we'll talk about values in general. And I'm going to guess that most of you out there probably haven't used that word in the last 6 months. Now, I'm not saying you didn't practice any values and you don't have any. I'm not implying that at all. I'm just saying, have you used that word? Have you declared that this is a value, whether it's for yourself, to a spouse, a significant other, a child, a friend, whatever? And so maybe it's time. Maybe if you haven't even thought about what your values are.
Do you have values?
There you are.
What are they? Have you thought about it?
Are they the same values that you've had your whole life, or have they shifted and changed as you've evolved?
There it is. Okay.
Good exercise to reevaluate sometimes.
Absolutely.
Write them down. Think about them.
Right. So that's going to kind of be part two, if we can get there. And then the other thing about that we were talking about earlier, just before we start on the podcast ones, if you write down, say, 10 of your values, whatever they might be, right? Here's the litmus test. Hand them to somebody close to you. Friend, again, spouse, significant other, whatever, child, if they're old enough, I mean, and say, here's what I value. Do you see these things in me?
Oh, wait a minute, Mac. That's way too scary to do that.
So
let's get vulnerable.
There's the unzip the fly thing. Holy right there, right? We were talking about a few podcast episodes ago. So let's get right into it. Let's get into going rogue. And we almost can call this episode going rogue or roguishness or going to the edge, maybe.
Right.
There's a lot of these components that just, it's just who we are. That we want to talk about, I'm going to say on the top of the list, maybe not, I don't know, but pretty much right up there is creativity. We value creativity.
Right? As a musician and an artist, I value creativity. It's in the top three, certainly for me.
Right.
Because that's how the world becomes, is people who think outside the box and create something new nobody's thought of.
Right.
Sing something new, write a new song, paint a new painting, and it's like, wow, more God is revealed there.
Have a new thought. Yeah.
What a concept.
Everybody is creative. Everybody.
Well, that's a great
Everybody.
Point.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you creating every day?
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Every day with your thoughts, with all your right. actions.
You may not list this on your resume.
Right.
Right? But you have it.
You know, if, big if, mm-hmm. because it depends on where you're coming from, but if, as we have already declared, so this shouldn't be something new if you've been listening to us, if you believe that, as we do, that, you know, you have divinity, you are divine, there is God in you that creates as you and through you, then there's no way you can say you're not creative.
Right. We're created in the image and after the likeness of God.
That's
what
right.
is God? God is creation itself. That means we are born and destined to create. Whether right. we're conscious or not, we're creating something.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So, but here's the big question. You can probably say, yeah, I can get my head around that. Yep, I understand the concept there. All right? Because I'm sure everybody at some point in their life has been creative, all right? So it's not like you have to be an artist or come up with something brand new every day necessarily from a what you might call creativeness. But believe me, just navigating traffic. If you want to drive from point A to B, you got to be creative.
All right? I've been very creative doing that with my Jeep. I've made my own roads.
I have some really creative hand gestures I use in Atlanta traffic.
All right, hold on. Where's the bell here? Okay. We're not suggesting that.
You want to know if you're creative or not? Did you take a breath? Are you still breathing? You're still creative. You may do it consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah,
you
right.
may like it or not like it, but you are creating your life.
You are. And all creativeness has to come from God. I mean, where else could the thought originate, right? To be able to be transferred into something else, whether it's a painting or, again, or a book, or I mean, whatever your creativity results in. And so, you know, this isn't a foreign concept. You probably were at work. What's some of the major, you know, things that the businesses lately have all been talking about, right? Creativity, right? All of that whole thing that you want to be creative, you want to be innovative, you want to think outside the box. How many seminars have you been to? How many, you know, talks have they given? How many meetings have you been in?
How many books have you written?
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's endless out there, the amount of stuff available to be punched in the internet. My gosh, just type in creativity. You're getting, what are you getting? Tens of millions, I'm sure. So the point of this part of the podcast, and when we talk about creativity and what we value, we're not offering you a seminar. We're not offering you a checklist sheet or a workbook that says, oh, here's how we can help you stimulate your creativity, okay? You can go find that wherever you want.
Three easy steps to creating the life you desire.
Yeah, right. You see all these out there, all right? No. Here's the important thing. We're talking about a concept that I talk about all the time, and that's called root and fruit. So creativity, being creative, creating a painting, creating a whatever, that's the fruit, okay? And so if you concentrate on the apple and you neglect the roots of the apple tree, what ends up happening? The tree dies, and you don't get any more apples anymore, all right? So you got to focus on a more root cause. And so now here's the question for all of you, and we will try to help you answer it a little bit, each in our own way. What is it that you might consider in your life that's suppressing your ability to be creative?
Mm. Yeah.
If you go after that, that's more the root. Then all of a sudden, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to go, oh my gosh, the last 2 weeks I've had way more creative thoughts than I ever have.
Hey, can we name some of these so that we can get beyond them and move into creativity?
Yeah.
Right. So here's some that come to mind to me.
Yeah.
Fear of failure, lack of confidence, perfectionism, right? It's going to be ready. It's just not ready.
Yeah.
Think about an artist, right? If they did that,
right,
they might never release anything.
Yeah.
Any art.
True
right?
artists are always changing their painting. True musicians and composers are always changing. They're always morphing.
That's the creative process, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Here's the one that really gets me, though. It's other people's fear when I'm telling them about my creativeness. Because here, it's human nature to want to, or to put yourself in that person's shoes. So if I'm explaining something I'm doing creatively, and the other person can't handle it for whatever reason, they have a fear or something around it,
yeah,
they might try to talk me out of it. So,
right.
You know, so you don't want to let their fear stop you from your creativity, but a lot of people do.
When you're creative, you're taking people out of their comfort zone, mm-hmm. and they're not comfortable with you going and growing and becoming. It's like, no, let me talk it down. Let me be negative about it. And we buy that, and we take it on as our own belief system, so we stop our creativity based on somebody else's insecurity or judgment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they're perfect. There's a great example. So just ponder that one. And then let's go to a more generalized idea of what holds you back. And that's this. Creativity is energy. There's creative energy involved with the process. What is it in your life that's just sapping the energy from your life? And it can be all kinds of things, from the media, especially, you know, politics in America, without a doubt. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, but you're going to get sapped if you're going to watch all that stuff. Could be a person in your life that just literally drags you down, like Stu was talking about. Or it could be any number of things in your life that you just have to say, I need to think about that, because if I start to eliminate some of these things, I will have more creative energy that will be positive, that will be helpful, that will be good, as opposed to having to deal with a bunch of negative energy that's coming into the field.
Meister Eckhart once said that God is not found in the soul by adding anything, but by a process of subtraction. That which is in the way of our creative flow, that's dammed up the river of our God essence expressing, let's just remove it and find it.
Yeah.
Not so easy. It means I got to give stuff up.
Well,
and it may be giving up a relationship.
There you go. All right. This is a tough question to ask, and we could go into depth and for a whole podcast episode just on this. But we're going to throw it out there and let you ponder in your own life.
One quick final thought on creativity. We've said before, when talking about God, right, that we want to be a distribution center for God's love,
right?
Coming to us mm-hmm. and flowing through us.
Mm-hmm.
How about being a distribution center for God's creativity?
Yes.
Let it come to us and flow through us. That's less scary, right?
I love
doing that.
What if God and creativity are synonymous? They're the same thing.
Yeah. It's just, you just are. right?
Yeah, you just are.
You know, the big block for me when it comes to God, creativity, love, whatever it might be, as I'm creating new relationships and experiences, is my stinking thinking. It's where, you know, you talk about all these blocks. If I give my attention to the blocks, I'm giving them power. Turn the other cheek, look a different way, and go, I'm going to have a different focus, a different attention, because that over there is blocking my creativity.
Hello. All right. There's some tidbits. Hopefully there were some nuggets for you. Creativity. Next thing, we've been talking about this as a new renaissance, so this fits right in with maybe some stuff you've been seeing. Spiritual depth. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to take the overarching idea, and I wish I, again, could take credit for this, but it's a Rob Bell thing that says everything is spiritual, right? And we're totally not just convinced, but we know that if we're going to be creative, as we've already talked about, right, then life requires us to have some spiritual depth that we can tap a power and a perspective greater than us. And cultivating that, we value, you know?
I'm hearing an Oak Ridge Boys song in my head. Dig a little deeper in the well, boys. If you don't like what life's showing you, dig a little deeper into the well of your soul.
Yeah.
Your God essence.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of ways that you can go about this. Now, you notice we're not saying anything about religion, all right? This is just about a spirituality that certainly can be practiced and flow through religious practice. That's fine, whatever that might look like for you. But it's more, as we say a lot of times, it's more than zero.
Right.
We want to encourage all of you out there that make it more than zero. Again, assess your practices, time, energy, focus, and begin to say, what can I do to dig a little deeper my spiritual depth so that I will get revelation, that my consciousness will rise higher? I think if you read the red letters out of the Bible, okay, Jesus was all about this, right? So this isn't something I'm not making it up, but I believe it's true, all right? So again, what's the spiritual practices behind your life? And again, we want to encourage you that if you will begin to dig them deeper, you will be more creative.
And everybody can do this.
Yeah.
Right. So let me simplify it for me, and I think it'll help other people. Spiritual depth sounds like what are you talking
like
about?
Like a monk.
I'm not sitting up on the top of a mountain with nobody around. Although I would like to be there. That would be fun. But here's what it means to me and how all you Rogers can do this out there. It's just about paying attention. It's about keeping your antennas up, getting rid of the distractions in your life,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just being open to hearing what's coming to you all the time, every second of every day.
Right.
You're talking about the practice of mindfulness, which is simply paying attention to what you're paying attention to. It's either feeding creativity or it's not. Make an appropriate adjustment.
Wait. I think there's a meme there. Pay attention
to what you're paying attention to.
I like
that's
that.
That's it. Okay. And I got one coming on that.
That was so creative.
Very. I love that, though.
Well, for me, it's the busyness you talked about, Coach. Yeah. You know, we're distracted because we're so darn busy. That's the block for me. I'm so busy being a human doing that I've forgotten to be a human being.
Uh-huh.
And human being is where the creativity flows, where the spiritual depth is found. Come apart for a while. Get quiet. Have some Sabbath once in a while. Not just once a week, but every day. Pause, breathe, and go, I remember who I am. I know what I'm about. And now I'm going to create from that place. That's spiritual depth and creativity as partners.
So here's how we build that muscle memory. You called out the coach. Let the coach speak.
Here he is.
Right? Mm-hmm. Here's how you build it. Practice. That's all you got to do, right? Just practice, right? It could be first thing when you wake up in the morning.
Yep.
Maybe you have a little bit of silent time. Maybe try this. Try to clear your thoughts, clear your head. You ever try doing that? There's always a thought that comes in.
The monkey brain.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you can work on that and practice it, you'll be able to do it. One day you'll say, oh, wow, I just didn't have any thoughts. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's more than okay.
That's a good
Sabbath doesn't become a day of the week. Sabbath becomes a way of life.
Yes.
It's not a destination. It's a way of being and breathing where I'm paying attention.
Oh, is there an unthinkable right there?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. We need more of this right now.
God gets me on Sunday between 11 and 12:30. No, no, God gets me 24/7, 365.
All the time. Right. Right?
Yeah. So,
all the time.
Well, what you just said, Stu, and we'll do this before we go to the break. Here it is. We're going to cue Nike, right?
Just do it.
Just do it. All right. We'll be right back.
Get her done.
Like what you hear so far? Join us in the Rogue Nation by going to our website, www.gorogue.life, where you will find links to our social media and podcast channels, posts on the Seeing Differently blog, and a way to subscribe to all our happenings. We encourage you to become a member of our cafe, where you can interact with us and fellow Roguers and keep the conversation going. Please share us and like us. Now, let's get back to going rogue.
All right, we're back. Oh, man. What do you think, Stu?
You know what's really funny is we've only gotten through two of these so far.
I know.
I have a feeling we could talk about one of them for the whole episode.
Right. But I feel so spiritually deep right now.
Spiritually creative, right?
Yes. Oh, gosh. We're spiritually creative at this moment. Maybe we just need to drop the mic and move on. I'm not sure, all right?
We have more to talk about. We're going to get there.
We're going to give you some more here. All right, so creativity, number one. Spiritual depth, number two. Number three, we value more of the we than the me perspective. More of the we than the me perspective.
Yeah. Think about others, not always about yourself, right?
Winnie the Pooh said to Christopher Robin, oh, it's my favorite time of the day. And he says, what time is that? It's the moment when me becomes we.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
That's awesome.
Oh, hello. What's the guy? Who's the guy that wrote those? What's his name? Trying to tip my tongue.
Don't tip my tongue, too, in my head.
With the what?
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh.
Robin.
So, beautiful. I mean, how do we do that? And I think that's where we, as a culture, more than anything, let's go to the higher level, that, first of all, a lot of this gets inbred in us, whether it's religiously, and I think you can go to some of the religions out there and see how narcissistic, I'm going to use the word, or me-centered anyway, you know, things like my faith, my belief, my religion. We were just taught that it's personal.
My God.
My God.
There are people walking around the planet that are saying, and my God can beat up your God.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
See, it's mine. And of course, we've taken that same thing as we've had our religious belief weave into our personal life out there, and that's my stuff. This is my stuff, and this is, and I'm hanging on to it, and you can't have it, and I'm not going to share it or any of those kinds of things. Now, this is a big, broad topic, and I don't want to make it sound so simplistic, but it's not so easy in our culture to make the shift from a focus on me and my family. I mean, we understand these things. These are things in my close circle versus the we, that it's our faith, that it's our responsibility. It's our. We're in this together, right? What do we always say? Together.
Together is better.
That's right.
You know, the Lord's Prayer starts with the words, our Father. Not my father, not your father, our Father.
Yeah.
That's a unity thing right there.
Absolutely. Well, and one of my favorite words, thank you, those of you that are Hindu, I absolutely appreciate it, right, is namaste, right? You know, that's the idea that says everybody has, as Rev's already mentioned earlier, has a God essence, has a God image. I don't care who you are, where you live. What cult, it doesn't matter. We all have it. And to acknowledge it and identify it automatically brings us more into the we than the me.
Everybody's important. Everybody is worthy and deserving of my recognition of their good.
Right, right. And so how do you see this play out in your life? Can you kind of check yourself? You know, watch your speech. That's probably the first thing. You know, how many times a day do you use the word I? Just think about it. That's all. Just be conscious of it and then say, gosh, I didn't realize I was as me-centered maybe as I am. And I'm not, and again, if we all, I mean, hello, we're not pointing fingers here, okay? We're just saying, be aware. Bring it to the surface, because in this podcast, you're going to hear us as we talk and as we filter things. And what we value is a bigger perspective of the holistic nature of the way we live as opposed to the individualistic nature.
Does this idea require us to develop a consciousness that there's enough good to go around? You know, if I'm hoarding, it's don't put all your good in a barn. The scriptures say it. Share it. Yes. It's there to share. If I have it, it's also yours. Yes. There's no private abundance.
Right.
You're supposed to share that. Now, that may sound political. I don't mean it that way. It from a genuine sharing heart.
No, I think it's generosity and it's a sharing. And we talk a lot about an attachment to stuff.
My treasures are in heaven. They're not on earth. And so if I have it and you want it, great. Yeah. It's yours.
There you go. I love that attitude, right?
Yeah, so, we can share non-physical things like kindness, right?
Yes,
absolutely. Patience for one another. Mm-hmm. You know, we can share love, of course. I mean, there's many other things.
You know what I share is two of you guys have had a couple of really good wins in the last couple of weeks. Some good things happened to you. Mm-hmm. You shared that with me, and I felt like I was a part of the win, part of the good.
The
I was as happy for you as I would have been for myself.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And we hope you're having those kind of conversations. We really do. I mean, that's what we want to encourage. So, all right. So, roguish values, going rogue values, creativity, spiritual depth, more of the we than me perspective. How about we did an episode on this, truth.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I mean, we value the truth. And at the same time, we acknowledge, just like we did in our episode, that all truth is filtered truth, right? We each run what we think is true through our own filters, all right? But here's, I think, we can even go one step further in the podcast, that we can say we would like to be able to think that you think this, and between the three of us, we do. Even though we hold certain things as true, we're also open-minded to the fact that maybe we've missed the point. Whatever that might be, right?
Yeah. Open-mindedness is another one of our values.
One of our values.
Right, for sure.
You know, when you have T-truth, capital T-truth, that's what we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But what about this little T-truth of day-to-day operations of being a human being on the earth? I value sincerity. Mm-hmm. I value honesty. That's truth. I may not understand it, but you're being honest with me. I know that what's coming out of your mouth, I can trust it.
Right.
Because it's transparent. You are a transparent person living life wide open. Right. That's when you talk about truth, I value that greatly. That the people I'm hanging out with and creatively building relationships with, it's based upon a sincere heart that is absolutely wide open.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that. And I'm gonna go right on the heels of that. And I pray, I hope that you have some relationships like that. And if you don't, if you're going, not really, I super encourage you to begin to think about how you can cultivate them. And that's not easy.
And if you're in a relationship or a situation where you can't be transparently, honestly, authentically you, run. Get out of it.
Yeah.
There's no love there in that. It's a manufactured relationship that's based on an illusion.
Well, and guess what? It's going to sap your creative energy. Yeah. We'll go back to the top, right?
And these relationships don't have to take years and years and years to develop.
True.
I mean, I've been able to develop what you're talking about in literally pumping my gas at a gas station.
Yeah, exactly.
With a gentleman. I mean, that's a true story.
That's just Stu, man.
But you can be like that.
Yeah, you can. I have a little more trouble with that. But I think it's beautiful.
I know sometimes people stop because they're like, wow, that's going to take a long time. Like, how long does it take to build that kind of relationship? It doesn't have to take long.
Well, it's, what's the expectation too? I mean, if you kind of go into it with just a connection in mind, then you let it go wherever it's going to go in the spirituality.
Right.
I mean, all these things here's what we're starting to come to realize, right? Whether you realize it or not, all of these things all go together and they're all just bundled up together. I mean, they don't happen isolated all by themselves. Right. So the more you cultivate one or the other, they're all going to encourage each other.
It's a great tapestry. And you pull one thread out, it's going to affect the other.
Right.
It's all interwoven. And when you get that tapestry together, that's being. That's life.
Yeah. So we value speaking the truth or gleaning the truth. And our truth or mine or Stu's or the Rev's at some points in time may differ. And you know, and that's okay, right? I mean, that's going to happen. Again, what do you do with that? And that becomes another topic for another discussion. But the point is, we hope that you are gleaning from us as you listen to us converse that we value the truth. And if you ever think that we don't, by whatever it is we're talking about, let us know.
Speak your truth and let us know.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So that we value truth. How about valuing, and lots of different words you can put into this, but I'm going to use the two words, valuing candor versus judgment. And that fine line between being candid, being realistic, being honest. Rev's already mentioned some of these things with another, as opposed to the other or yourself thinking that I'm not going to say it because it's judgmental, or the other person receiving it as a judgment.
See, the fact that we just talked about building relationships is a perfect transition into this. Because to me, someone I have a relationship with and I know who they are, just like I know who God is and God's character, right?
Right.
And I've learned in my relationship with you, I know who you are. You can be candid with me because I know you're not being judgmental.
Right.
Right. But if you're, so how about this? Like if I'm candid with a stranger, somebody that doesn't know me.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, how are they going to take it? Are they going to be judgmental to them?
Yeah.
Will they see the honesty and the sincerity for what it is? And I believe that can happen because it's in your energy. It's in your eyes that, you know, when you're looking at somebody and speaking to them, but still to my point,
right.
Building that equity with somebody, like building that up, developing the relationship, I think takes you away from judgment and conversations into just, you can be as candid as you want. Cause you have that relationship. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that those kinds of equity building things certainly make it in a different context. And I thought it was really good what you said, those two, that you don't even necessarily need to have that depth of skin in the game with somebody, that if you're sincere, that if your conversation and your comment isn't meant to harm or degrade or demean someone in any way, you really, whatever it is you're saying, is trying to help them. And to be positive, right? You know, you got to let those cards fall where they're gonna fall. I think.
Right.
Well, you got to be sensitive to the person who's in front of you.
Sure.
You know, your candor might work great with the three of us right here. The guy at the gas station's gonna go, "What the hell's up with this guy?" You know, you build relationship. That's takes time.
Yeah,
it takes time, and you're sensitive to who's in front of you at any given moment.
Right. Right. So there we are. So that's candor versus judgment.
I do want to say judgment is not a bad, sometimes judgment gets a bad rap.
Yeah, I agree.
Every single day of our lives, we're making judgments. We're discerning, you know, to go left, to go right, to go forward, to go back. That sensitivity, you're going to have to make a judgment. This is not a safe place. I can be that open.
Right.
But
right.
I'll tiptoe.
Uh-oh. Discernment.
I prefer the word discernment. Yes.
Discernment. That's a great quality. Yeah, we'll talk about that at some point, I guarantee you. We talked about that in the podcast, Art, when we did the old one, right? Yeah, so really cool. So yeah, there it is. Candor versus judgment. All right, how about this one? And believe me, this is really at the core of really who we are as a trio, as an ideology, as a podcast that we bring in. And that's this idea of, and I'm going to use the word enlightenment, and give us, don't click the button here. All right. Just let us flesh this out a little bit. Enlightenment versus complacency. We value the pursuit of becoming more enlightened. Describe that however you want to describe it. Right. But we think that when we start to do that, we raise the whole level of consciousness, literally in mankind. And I think we need a lot of that right now.
So I go back to the monk on top of the mountain, who we all would say is enlightened.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Up there. Everybody is. It's as simple as this. You're just having knowledge and understanding. That's all it is. Right? Being enlightened. I mean, enlightened sounds like such a big word.
Right.
But we all have that. We all can have that.
Sure.
Knowledge and understanding, a different understanding, right? Like when you become enlightened, you have another understanding of something, whatever it is,
right,
that we're talking about. Right. I'm now enlightened about that topic. Right.
The light bulb went off.
It shouldn't be a scary word is the whole point I'm trying to make.
Oh, the light bulb went off. Yeah.
I like to look at that. You know, if we've treated enlightenment as a destination and not as a journey of exploration, every day there's a new light bulb. Every day there should be a new epiphany and revelation.
Yeah.
We become complacent. Oh, I've reached it. I'm now enlightened. And I tell you, the true mystics are the ones that realize they know nothing. They're still growing.
They're
the ones, you know, I know that I know nothing, therefore I am enlightened. And then tomorrow, a new epiphany and a revelation will cross my mind and my heart. And it's like, oh, gosh, I'm a little bit more light-filled than I was yesterday.
And we've already talked about the spiritual aspect of growth, of what we value, and in order to stimulate an enlightenment, not only the knowledge and things that you didn't know that now you do know, certainly that's part of it, but also it's a deeper resonance and I'm going to say understanding, but it's almost a no understanding. It's almost an ability to be able to remove yourself from those things higher, those ideas, those divine God-breathed ideas and thoughts and feelings that you can't describe. You can't even, but it is. And now you begin to look at the world differently. You know, your consciousness rises. I think to me, Jesus was the, you know, incredible, if not the, well, it depends on where you want to come from on that, from a religious standpoint, you know, enlightened one, let's call him, all right? One with a consciousness that was just so high, that he was so one with God, the Father, that he would say that, again, he was animated and directed by God's Spirit.
That he clearly owned that. He clearly owned it. It said, it's not me. It's not me, my personality, this illusionary world of a personality and the things I'm doing. It's the Father within me. It's the essence, the God, the light that is within me.
Right. Yes. And again, if you remove that component, to me, you're kind of just left with me. You know, consciously anyway, you can never remove God, but I'm just saying, you know, to me, that's a pretty scary thought from where I'm coming from, that I have to try to do it all by myself under my own carnal power, to my own fallibility.
This requires another thing I value, and that's intimacy. We're talking about relationships. Yeah. Look, I'm going to be authentically you and let you see into me, and I want to see into you, and I'm going to meet you at something beyond what you've done or what you do for a living or what you said or what you think. I'm going to meet you at the place of the light.
Yes.
And when I meet you there, that relationship at the gas station, even if it's 15 seconds, can be an expression and an experience of light. That's enlightenment to me. Can I dig beneath the surface of Max's behavior to the heart and the light and the good that's underneath? That, for me, is enlightenment, and I've always got room for improving in doing that.
Mm. Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing to just sort of come before, right, and understand that raising your consciousness is not a bad thing, and it's not something that you look down on others that you know, in whatever way might not have as elevated a consciousness or whatever. Now, they may look at it a little differently. We've already talked about that. But the worst thing you can do, I think Stu had mentioned this early on, is to let them hold you back by any disdain that you might feel from anybody else when you begin to raise your level of consciousness. You know, don't do that. Okay. Be kind. Be loving, but at the same time, don't let that energy hold you back, right?
Well, you can meet people where they are without taking away from who you are, mm-hmm. right? You can still be you at your level.
Yeah.
And one of these podcasts, I'll have to talk about how I put people into school.
and how
that allows me to relate with them. So, I'll just say for the record, I'm never going to tell anybody what level of schooling they're in, but it does help me to connect with people. It's really a cool thing. Maybe I'll do a muse on it.
In his brain.
It's fun.
If the college professor cannot teach his truth and his enlightenment and the good that he knows to a kindergartner, then you can't teach it.
Well, there's the point I was going to say. I'm glad you got there, Rev, because when Stu was making that comment, let's go back to the gas station.
Right.
In that 15 seconds, 20 seconds, a minute, whatever that encounter might be, if you're in the right place, you can actually raise that person's level of consciousness and vibration just by your encounter with them.
Yeah.
Is it possible that if I'm judging them as already lower than me, I'm not enlightened?
Yeah.
They're more enlightened than I am because they're just seeing an equal playing field of light meeting light, expressing light to each other. Mm-hmm. If I've judged you as having a lower consciousness, I'm already shot in the foot.
Right.
No, this is not going to be true intimacy here. There's going to be an exchange of judgments.
Right, right. Yeah, very
good.
Called
us out. The Rev just called us out.
I'm calling myself out, boys.
I know. Yeah, I get a little wrapped around the axle sometimes over that because sometimes I only have so much time, and sometimes I choose to spend my time with people that can help me raise my consciousness versus
not. You know, I'll be honest. There's some people it's much easier for me to love from a distance.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Well, you know, we're all a work in progress, like we keep saying, right? So, so there we are. Enlightenment. Put whatever word in there you want, okay, versus complacency, right? Another thing we value is being realistic without in challenging the absurd. Let's just call it that, right? Now, again, there's lots of little nuances in there, but sometimes we tend to accept a lot. Like we were doing that episode on the lies that the guy wrote the book that we believe by God. Now we frame that a little bit differently and all that. Right. But the point being is that basically in that book, Jung said, I think he wrote it. I think this view of God is absurd. Mm-hmm. And here's why. I mean, it wasn't like he just threw it out there and then walked away. All right. So I don't think there's anything wrong at times with us just really trying to be realistic with whatever's coming through our grid, whatever we're hearing, whatever we're being taught, whatever's coming across our grid, and to just, even if you start with it in your brain and go, that's just absurd, okay? Everything else aside, I just can't go there. I can't buy into that. I can't adopt that. That just makes no sense to me, you know? And I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. But on the other side of the coin, let me play devil's advocate here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is absurdity a necessary quality for creativity? We talked about that at the beginning of the podcast. Look, those who have been labeled nuts and crazy and absurd and ridiculous have really propelled the human race into greater inventions, greater discoveries. So is absurdity necessary?
Right.
And then you get to realistic. So they must be partners rather than one against the other.
Oh, I love this.
Well,
partnering together. That's awesome.
I'll pick up on that and say, I may initially think it's absurd. Don't you adopt it as well, all right? Mm-hmm. Don't let your creativity get stifled by my absurdity, right? You know? And maybe
or because your absurdity caused me to look and think a little differently. That's absurd, but maybe there's some truth underneath here.
You're getting into our next value.
Oh, there
good
it is.
Segue,
right?
Coach.
We're going to close this up.
Everything's
with this last
timed,
one.
Remember? Second to second, minute to minute.
We already talked about this word, right? What was it?
Open-mindedness.
Maybe my absurdity is not so absurd, and maybe it's a do. Hey. There's some open-mindedness.
So check this out, Max. So what the Rev just said is exactly this definition. Let me read it because it's exactly this. The quality of being willing to consider ideas and opinions that are new or different from your own.
A new thought.
Hello.
Open-mindedness.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question out there, gang. When you hear that word, be open-minded. Mm-hmm. What comes to your brain? What's the first thing that comes to your brain? You know, well, one of the first things might come.
That you're going to say something that I disagree with.
Exactly. Okay. That you're going to make me mad. That you're already prefacing it by the fact that you already know I'm not going to agree with you. Okay. And so, you know, we shut right down.
Prejudgment.
You know, that's exactly right.
Right.
Okay. So an open-mindedness, guess what? Rogers, we would consider anybody that would consider themselves a Roger, open-minded.
Yeah, for sure. Right?
That's a necessity.
We value that in you. And it doesn't mean you agree with us on everything. It just means that you're willing to take in what we're talking about and vice versa.
Well, let me ask you this question. Would you say that there's a lack of being judgmental with people that are open-minded, like with open-mindedness?
Oh, I would say so. Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah.
You would say
absolutely.
That? Okay, so I have a story about this. I just set you guys up. All right. This is about me.
We're going to end with this then. Okay, here we go.
So I was realizing one day how I was getting upset with people who weren't being open-minded. And in the fact that they were not open-minded, I was judging them for not being open-minded. So I was like, whoa, my brain was just going crazy. I'm like, holy cow. I know I'm open-minded, but so I was trying to wrangle those thoughts together. I was like, wow, I'm being, in my open-mindedness, I was being judgmental.
Sometimes
now I know about it now, so I don't do that anymore.
We eat our young. Yeah. Oh, there it is, gang. There's.
I'm open to everyone, just not those closed-minded people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, wait a minute. Let's think about that one just for a second. So beautiful, Stu. I love it. Hey, guys, this is good stuff, but this is us. This was us, and we want you to understand that hopefully as you continue to listen to us through episode 25 and 55 and 105, that you will see these consistent things that are going to bring value to your life because they've done it for us, and we want to help impart some of that to you, and we hope you're going to pick up on the nuggets. So thanks for listening. Want to close this out?
Reb.
Yeah.
You're asking for a prayer. That's what ministers do. We hold a prayer to close on. I was going to say, I'm having such a good time doing this, and I hope everybody who's listening is having a really good time also.
Yeah.
And I want you to let us know that you're watching, you're listening, you're paying attention. You have ideas. Your ideas we want to bring into this podcast. So go to the website, check us out, check out the memes, and start interacting with each other, interacting with us.
Get in a cafe.
Build authentic relationships.
There we are. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And when you have a thought that you think could be a meme, just send it to us.
Yeah.
We would love to work with it.
Put a little comment in Facebook or whatever you want to do. All right.
Right.
So
for sure.
Listen, thanks for listening. Again, we pray we brought value. We love doing this. Thanks for being part of the Rogue Nation, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Wow. You made it and can now unbuckle. Thanks for listening to Roguish Values, where we revealed what we value in the hope that you will resonate with our passions and perspectives and consider your own. Remember to visit the website at www.gorogue.life for lots of follow-up information, see the show notes for any links to episode content, and join us in the ongoing cafe conversation where every week we post some thought-provoking questions for your own roguish conversations. Oh, and of course, tell everyone you know about us and like, follow, and engage. Be sure to tune in next week when Mac unleashes another unthinkable conversation. That is, if you dare.